program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, finally, August 27th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our casual Friday. I'm sporting the Jack Herer t-shirt that I got from Seattle Hemp Fest, and joining me here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, my friend, the engineer, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
It's a casual Friday today, and I'm also declaring it a Happy Talk Friday.
Happy Talk.
So when we get to our second hour, we're just going to engage in Happy Talk.
Sounds good to me.
We're going to be friendly and fun and have a good time as we go off into the weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. I'll be down at the Jefferson State Hemp Fest down there in Southern Oregon, Grants Pass, Oregon, playing music tomorrow at noon, I believe, and I think I'm speaking too. Yeah. So that'll be a good time, so check us out there. And also, if you want to send emails to the show, we're stashing at normal.org. I'm Russ at normal.org. He's Ganja John at normal.org. And joining us from our virtual studio in the city named after John Jacob Astor, Astoria, Oregon, our good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Very nice. Are you happy turned up today?
Yeah, we got you turned up today. And I had to emphasize that. Somebody in the chat room was saying yesterday how they love how I always say Astoria, Oregon. And I had to explain the reason why is it's named after John Jacob Astor, and all the locals get upset when you call it Astoria. And they say, it's not John Jacob Astor. So there you go. There's the reasoning. How are things in Astoria today?
Things are going great, and I'd just like to give a little Astoria trivia out there for you. John Jacob Astor never set foot in my town. His fur company was here in the 1800s.
Oh, well, there we go.
There you go.
There's your Astoria trivia for the day. Cannabis Carrie brings us
our Cliff Clavin moment for the day.
Yeah, Cliff Clavin moment. There you go. Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we revisit the war on drugs south of our border, where a defiant Felipe Calderon is promising to strengthen his side. And California isn't the only state considering a history post-legalization. And, of course, I can't help myself. An update on the famous case of the BC Guard Bears. I just can't get enough of those guys.
The BC Bears. I love it. They're becoming their own nickname.
BC Bud Bears.
The BC Bud Bears. All right. Thanks, Carrie. We'll take a look at that just here in a couple minutes. Also coming up on today's show at 20 after the hour, we visit with Eric Smokes Bud out of Madison, Wisconsin. He brings us our Rockin' Friday music. And today, who's the group today?
Bongzilla.
Bongzilla. You can't, oh no, they say he's got to go. Go, go, Bongzilla. Zilla is our artist for today for Rockin' Friday. At 30 past, I'm going to do the radical rant early. I'm going to do it at half past because I've got a radical rant today on the six drug czars getting together to pen an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times against California's Prop 19. We're going to tear that apart and give you a look at what these drug czars have said in the past about marijuana. And then at about 40 or 45 past the hour, we'll visit with Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine, taking your live chat and live call-in questions in Cultivator's Corner. In Hour 2, we'll see if you'll stick with us and extend the chat, and we'll have Happy Talk in Hour 2 as well. All that and more coming up in just a little bit.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, invites you to our 39th Annual National Conference, Legalization, Just Say Now, Thursday, September 9th through Saturday, September 11th, 2010, at the Opulent Governor's Hotel in downtown Portland.
The war on drugs has been a failure, and I think that we need to rethink and reformulate our law.
Extend your visit through Sunday, September 12th, and you can also attend the free two-day Portland Hempstock, the largest outdoor cannabis and music festival in Oregon.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just Say Now. The NORML National Conference, September 9th through 11th in Portland, Oregon. Details available on the web at normal.org/conference or by calling 202-483-5500. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carry.
Mexico's president, Felipe Calderon, is stepping up the fight against the violent drug gangs that plague the country. Yesterday morning, Mexico's government had pledged to attack the leaders where they will feel it the most, in the billions of dollars they earn each year. Calderon is sending proposals to Congress that would ban cash purchases of real estate and make it easier for officials to seize property from the drug cartels and their front companies. The conflict has led to more than 28,000 deaths since 2006, when the president declared a war against the cartels. Just this week, Marines discovered 72 bodies thought to be of Central and South American immigrants headed for the United States on a remote Mexican ranch. Officials believe they were gunned down by one of the country's brutal drug gangs. Also this week, the body of a 38-year-old U.S.-educated mayor of Santiago was found with his hands tied behind his back and shot execution style with tape around his head and left on the outskirts of a popular tourist spot near Monterrey, Mexico. Mayor Edilmer Cavaros is the fifth Mexican mayor gunned down in the past 2 years. In the border town of Juarez, the center of much of the violence, 60 residents were gunned down in just the last week. More people are dying each day from the bullets of drug traffickers in Mexico than are being killed in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars combined. Mexican cartels, which control most of the marijuana, cocaine, and methamphetamine smuggled into the United States, bring an estimated $25 billion to $40 billion into Mexico from their global operations every year. Most of that money is from the U.S., and most of it is in U.S. $100 bills. This money finds its way into the books of restaurants, construction firms, and bars as drug lords try to legitimize their cash and prevent police from tracing it. Calderon has promised that the country's finance ministry is going to focus on current laws to fight the money laundering schemes of the drug dealers. Also announced this week, Mexico has purchased Israeli-made unmanned drone aircraft that will most likely be used for spotting remote drug fields of marijuana or opium in the northwestern states of Sinaloa, Durango, and Chihuahua. Mexico's defense ministry said it bought the unspecified number of drones for $23.25 million. Those areas are the most difficult for officials to reach. It is unclear if any of the money spent was part of the millions of dollars of aid the U.S. sends each year to combat drug trafficking. The remote-controlled drones can fly for 20 hours and are equipped with cameras. The defense ministry made the drones purchase public this week under Mexico's Freedom of Information rules after request from a leading Mexican newspaper.
Well, 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 72 bodies, the latest in the 28,000 that have died in the past 4 years in Mexico's drug war. I do have to make a small correction of Cannabis Carry's stat here, where she said there were more killed in the Mexican drug war than Iraq and Afghanistan combined. That's only if we're counting soldiers and Taliban. If we're counting civilians, far more people have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, the innocent bystanders who get knocked out by cluster bombs and such. But I get your point, Carrie. You know, when we talk about the wartime deaths of our soldiers compared to the civilian deaths in Mexico, it is four times as much. You had a couple of other points that I thought were really interesting. We were chatting about this before we went on the air, about the ancillary effects of this ramp up of violence in Mexico. And it had to do with gun sales. And I thought that was an interesting stat. Maybe you should throw in.
Well, it was actually two businesses that are flourishing. As the country of Mexico's tourism is dying, other industries are suffering over this, and thousands are, you know, running away from the border cities of Tijuana and Juarez. Two U.S. industries are flourishing. There are have been more than 7,000 gun shops sprouted up on the U.S. side of the border in the last 5 years. And it seems like the owners don't really care where their merchandise goes. Three quarters of the 84,000 weapons, including high-powered assault rifles, that Mexican officials have seized since 2006 originated in the U.S. Uh-huh. And then the other business we want to talk about are the banks. Just this last May, prosecutors charged Wachovia Bank, you know, the people that own Western Fargo, for failing to report money laundering activity from the $370 billion wired to them from Mexico.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, lots of money being laundered.
And they ended up paying $160 million in fines, and they pled guilty to the federal government. Not a big story we reported.
Oh my goodness, Wachovia had to pay $160 million fine. What was that, 0.1% of their gross profits for the year or something like that? Probably. I don't have the exact figures, but thanks for those extra details, Carrie. It just goes to show how this Mexican drug war, there's more to it than just the marijuana, right? She made mention of the purchases of drone aircrafts by the Mexican government from the Israeli government to overfly the countryside and looking for grow ops and so on. And it leads me to the idea of war itself. War itself as a profit-making exercise. As history has gone on, as time has gone on, countries and leaders have discovered that war on the conventional scale, you know, one country against another country, loading up a bunch of soldiers and ships and tanks and battling it out with each other, it's bad for business. It used to be good for business, right? We got ourselves out of a Great Depression with World War II, made all these factories, converted them from making trucks to making tanks, and a lot of people got jobs, and it all worked. But now that that's already set, you actually lose more money in a war between the deficits and all of the carnage than you do in prosecuting the war. But there still has to be somewhere for those guns to be sold, somewhere for those drones to be sold, some purpose to use them. And if it's not effective anymore for business to be able to have one country fight another, they're finding it's more effective to have a country fight its own citizens, spy on its own citizens in the name of this stupid war on drugs.
In another sign that the tide in the national debate is turning, the state of New Hampshire has appointed a committee to do a legislative study of marijuana legalization. Not medical marijuana, not decriminalization measures, but actual cannabis legalization. The interim study is being carried out by five members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee, who are expected to send a report on marijuana legalization to the New Hampshire House by November. The panel has at least two supporters of legalization and some against going into the study. Shannon Chanley, a Democrat from Amherst, has said she thinks it would represent a risky social experiment, but has described herself as being solidly on the fence when it comes to full legalization efforts. One subcommittee member, a former Manchester police officer, has said publicly that he thinks possession of an ounce or less of marijuana should be legal. Representative Larry Gange, a Republican of Manchester, a Navy veteran, and a police officer during the Nixon administration, said he previously supported arresting someone for possession of even a marijuana seed or a roach. Representative Gange has said that after studying the history of prohibition and how it financed organized crime, and talking to fellow legislators, he has changed his mind. He would like to see if marijuana could be controlled, licensed, and taxed by the state, especially during the economic downturn. His questions are over how such a law would be implemented, saying the devil is always in the details. Now, subcommittee member Representative David Welch, another Republican from Kingston, said he supports decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana, but not flat-out legalization. Welch, too, has changed his opinion of marijuana laws, thinking they are too harsh. He told the Boston Herald this week, "Society has clearly changed its thinking about these laws. At some point, those of us in the legislature have to catch up to that, or we are going to be replaced." In the state last year, a bill that would have decriminalized possession of a quarter ounce or less of marijuana was approved by the New Hampshire House in a 214 to 137 vote, but defeated in the Senate. And of course, 2 years ago, both the House and Senate approved a bill that would have legalized medical marijuana for qualifying patients, but New Hampshire's Governor John Lynch vetoed the bill, and then it fell 2 votes short of an override. Legislators all over the country, not just in New Hampshire, are finally getting the message that there will be some kind of cannabis legislation almost every session. So they're going to need to get comfortable discussing it and organizing committees to study it, whether it's decrim, medical, patients or citizens' rights, zoning, business or tax issues, or just flat-out legalization. Cannabis has made a permanent stop in our nation's houses of law.
It's good to see that New Hampshire is going forth with a study on legalization. I got a steal from Roland Reverend in the chat room about the lady who said she was solidly on the fence. He asks, I wonder where the fence post is. Yeah, solidly on the fence. I wonder if New Hampshire will come up with the same results of their study of legalization as did the National Academy of Sciences in 1999, or the Connecticut Law Review Commission in 1997, or the Social Sciences Journal in 1993, or the National Academy of Sciences in 1975, or let's see here, the states of California in state of Oregon in 1976, the British Journal of Psychiatry in 2001, the New South Wales Australia Bureau of Crime Statistics in 2001, a Australian study from 2000, another study from Australia in 1999, a study from Frankfurt, Germany here in 1997, an Amsterdam study from 1995, another study in Australia from 85 to 93, the LaGuardia Commission study from 1942, the Consumer Reports Consumer Union study from 1971, the Schaefer Commission study from 1970, the Indian Hemp Drugs Commission study from 1996. I wonder if New Hampshire will come to the same conclusions as those studies.
And here's another update on the BC cannabis guard bears. This crazy story just gets stranger. This week, the actual marijuana that was collected as evidence from the outdoor garden that was being guarded by the 14 black bears was actually stolen from a Mountie evidence locker. Last week, the Royal County Mounted Police said they responded to what turned out to be a phony emergency call. And while they were gone, someone broke into their evidence room in Grand Forks and made off with the 22 pounds of cannabis. Mounties tracked the stolen marijuana to the home in nearby Greenwood, and inside they found the marijuana secured with 19 sticks of dynamite hooked up to homemade fuses. The dynamite, believed to be from a mining operation, was detonated safely, and the 35-year-old man has been charged with possession of stolen property and illegal explosives. Now, the property owners that owned the area turned out to be a couple in their 40s. It turns out that the bears had been living there for at least 5 years, and they're facing production and possession charges along with animal cruelty. Since then, they've been ordered to not feed the bears, and a conservation group is working with the province's environmental minister to set up a feeding station close but away from the couple's home.
Wile E. Coyote is up in Canada, I guess, stealing marijuana. Where'd our weed go, eh?
Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Yeah, okay, so you turned your back, you got a fake call, and Yogi and Boo Boo came in and stole back all their weed. Put it back in the...
Isn't that just the craziest story?
I know, people in the chat room are LMAOing like crazy here. And the sticks of dynamite, that's something else too, man. Guarding the
Very
weed.
Weird.
Like, all right. We guarded it with bears, and that wasn't good enough. They guarded it with dynamite, and that wasn't good enough. So next time, bears armed with dynamite.
Bears strapped with dynamite.
And you know, Russ, the evidence sort of, some of it being destroyed, probably would have been in favor for the couple. But because of the bears, there was so much video taken by the Mounties that were there at the scene that there's, you know, tons of video evidence against them. So not going to really help their case.
Oh, man. I just can't help but laugh at this story, though. It's so funny. Okay. So, and was there anything new on the bears themselves? Wasn't there a Facebook petition to save them or something?
Yes, the Facebook petition is still going on. It seems to have been successful. It would have been a terrible PR move for the environmental ministry to kill these bears, something that they would have actually have done already, because it's their protocol. If they find bears that have been tamed because people have been feeding them, they have a policy to put them down. So the bears are sort of getting a second chance. There's a conservation group that has stepped in and said they think they can actually train the bears to eat food away from people. But so far right now, they've set up some food guarding stations. And it turns out this couple are animal lovers. They had tame raccoons at their place and other animals. So they've been ordered to not feed the animals. And people are in there trying to help the animals, you know, reintroduce themselves to forest feeding and not dog food.
What the hell happened to zoos?
I don't know. But we will keep you up on the latest Canadian guard bear marijuana stories as they break.
It's a good Friday story.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie.
Break time.
Yeah, it is certainly Casual Friday. We're having ourselves a good time at Normal Soul Live. Coming up next, your Daily Toger Tunes with Eric Smokespud, a radical rant, and some Danny Danko at the end of the show.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Soul Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live Chat is only for registered Sticka members who've sent us a friend request. Chat is a privilege, and those who abuse it will be removed. For a list of unacceptable behavior in chat, send a private message to any moderator.
Cool out. Cool out. Cool out. And I always smoke the best. Cool out.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
All my friends, Miller Low Rider.
This is Normal Show Live.
The Low Rider is a little higher.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. Brought to you by Eric Smokespud in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
For today's feature, I found an act from right here in Madison, Wisconsin, a psychedelic sludge rock band known as Bongzilla. They first arrived on the Madison music scene in the mid-90s with a cannabis-born brand of metal that shakes you right down to the endocannabinoid system. The high point of Bongzilla's career was in the late 90s when they were touring with bands like Unsane, Logical Nonsense, and El Dopa. They also played hemp festivals like Weedstock and Madison's annual Harvest Fest. Bongzilla's bio states, the band's live show is not to be missed as crushing heaviness blends perfectly with tortured intense vocals and tripped out passages of mellowed experimental jamming. However, you'd be out of luck if you want to experience this for yourself. They've been on hiatus for the last few years, but their MySpace page states that they will be back, so not all hope is lost. In the meantime, here is Bongzilla with Prohibition Fourth Amendment.
Officer, leave the room.
We'll be right back.
copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time to check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Coming up on September 9th through 11th, the Normal National Conference. And I'm happy to say on September 10th, the Friday night, we'll be having a rooftop party at the Red Lion Inn featuring performances from Los Marihuanos and Chief Greenbud, the man you just heard singing It's 420 Somewhere, the winner of the 2010 Marijuana Music Awards Song of the Year.
This is the first I've heard about it. I'm excited.
Yeah, Los Marihuanos and Chief Greenbud with special MC, West Coast cannabis editor and cannabis comedian extraordinaire Engayo Bilum will be there, and we'll get him the memo so he doesn't think it's Pimp Fest again.
Yeah, not Pimp Fest.
It's not Pimp Fest. So all that great stuff coming up on Friday, the middle day of the Normal National Conference here in Portland, Oregon. On Wednesday, September 8th, we're having kind of a welcoming of people who are flying in early for the conference and checking into their hotels. It's a welcoming party sponsored by Oregon Normal and Alternative Medical Choices, featuring the musical stylings of my brother, Josh Belville.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, those of you who listen to the Daily Toker Tunes and you hear those songs, Boise, and you hear the great one, Get Stoned Together, that
Get
everyone loves.
Together,
the little disco it. Pothead love song. Josh will be there performing those songs acoustically with his guitar, of course, at the welcoming party at the Oregon Normal World Famous Cannabis Cafe, Wednesday, September 8th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. So check that out. There may also be a shot at me getting up on the bass and Cousin Kenny on the drums and his mom, Asha, perhaps, we haven't confirmed this yet, also playing a set there. And if you haven't heard this woman sing, it is like an angel buttering your toast. It's just beautiful. So that's the stuff coming up on Normal National Conference. All the details are available at normal.org/conference. Now, taking a look at the current events on the Cannabis Community Calendar. Today, Friday, August 27th, the Orton Park Festival is taking place in Madison, Wisconsin. That's happening all weekend long, and Madison Normal will be there. The Olmsted 2010 Music Festival is taking place all weekend in Franklin, Ohio. This is the homegrown Cincinnati Festival. Miami Valley Normal will be there. Tomorrow, Saturday, August 28th, Oregon Normal is hosting its cardholders meeting. They do it twice a month for Oregon Medical Marijuana Program cardholders. You can arrive, get yourself raffle gifts, free plants, free medicine, and get to see the world-famous Cannabis Cafe from the inside. I will not be there. I'll be at the Jefferson State Hemp Fest, but you can check that out by visiting ornorml.org. And for the Cannabis Cafe, check out usacannabiscafe.org. On Sunday, August 29th, the Orton Park Festival continues and the Olmsted Music Festival continues. And for more events that are coming up in the coming weeks, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
This is Willie Nelson for NORML. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Normal National Conference 2010, September 9th through the 11th, in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Portland? Is this a typo? Oh, I get it. For more details, see norml.org/conference.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Kula!
Rather cool rant.
All right, everybody, a little early ranting here, 33 past the hour, and I wanted to comment on this most recent this most recent thing that had come up on the from the drug czars, the six drug czars that we've had in American history. There they are right on the webcam from clockwise left to right: Bill Bennett, Bob Martinez, Lee Brown, General Barry McCaffrey, John Walters, and Gil Kerlikowske. And of course, in the center, their ideological progenitor, Harry J. Anslinger. There you have it. The scariest circle you'd never want to pass a joint to, right there. And those six gentlemen, the living ones on the outside, got together to pen an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times opposing Proposition 19. Now this might surprise some of you out there listening. You're thinking, wait a minute, Prop 19, isn't that a California state initiative? And yet the federal drug czars are coming out to oppose it. They're spending federal tax money to oppose a state measure. Really? They can do that? Well, yeah, not only can they do that, they have to do it. According to U.S. law that creates the drug czar's position, they are required to lie to you about marijuana. Required. This is in the Title VII of the Office of National Drug Control Policy Reauthorization Act of 1998, H1122-5, that says the responsibilities. The director shall ensure that no federal funds appropriated to the ONDCP shall be expended for any study or contract relating to the legalization for a medical use or any other use of marijuana, and to take such actions as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize marijuana. It's in the law. In fact, Gil Kerlikowske, the current drug czar, would be breaking the law by not opposing Prop 19. Or, for that matter, opposing Arizona, South Dakota with their initiatives for medical marijuana. Or anywhere in the country, he has to spend your tax dollars to tell you it's bad. Once the government declared marijuana was bad, the government's required to spend your tax money to tell you it's bad, spend your tax money to rebut the people who say it's good, and most offensively, to stifle any research that would use your tax money to prove that it was good. So not only are you not allowed to argue that it was good, you can't even go out and get the data and facts you need to support your argument. Now, Paul Armentano has already done a great job of slamming these guys, these six drug czars, with his post up on the normal.org front page. I encourage you to check it out. Let me give you the executive breakdown of their six main points the six drug czars made. It's almost like a tongue twister. Six sheep is sick. Yeah, the six drug czars made in order to convince you that you should vote no, if you live in California, that you should vote no on Prop 19. This is what the six drug czars say. The Dutch have dramatically reduced what at one time were thousands of coffee shops to only a few hundred. You know, this is where they point out, you know, Amsterdam used to have, you know, or Holland in general, used to have, you know, thousands of coffee shops where people could, adults could get marijuana, small amounts, and smoke it and possess up to 5 grams. They've gone from thousands to hundreds. So therefore, legalization's a bad idea. All right, but they're not shutting them all down, are they? And they're not saying we ought to go to a system where we imprison people who use small amounts of marijuana, are they? because the system works. They may have had to tweak a few things with zoning or worries about drug tourism or whatever excuse they're offering, and the fact that they've got a more conservative government in play now than they've had before. But they're not getting rid of the coffee shops, are they? No, because they like that system. That system works for them. Another thing the six drug czars say is a reason why you should vote against Prop 19. Legalizing marijuana would lead to more accidents and fatalities involving drivers under its influence. Yeah, even though all available studies show marijuana using drivers to drive more slowly and take less risks. Now, meanwhile, drunk drivers caused 11,773 deaths in 2008, and yet nobody out there is even suggesting mandatory breathalyzer valet parking at the local bar or prohibiting alcohol altogether. I mean, other than me, right? I don't think we should prohibit alcohol, but mandatory breathalyzers at the bar? I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea. Number three reason the six drug czars say you should vote no on Prop 19. Legalization wouldn't raise tax money because marijuana is cheap and easy to cultivate. Why would people volunteer to pay high taxes on marijuana if it were legalized? Well, first of all, we're already paying a high tax on marijuana. It's called the dealer tax. People are paying $300, $400, $500 for an ounce of dried vegetable matter. I can get an ounce of saffron flown in from Spain for $149, but $500 an ounce for weed that was grown down the block? We're already used to paying the high tax. That's not a problem. And what about tomatoes and carrots, right? I pay a tax on tomatoes and carrots every time I go to the grocery store because it's a pain in the ass to grow tomatoes and carrots, which are far cheaper and easier to produce than good quality marijuana is at home. I would like one of these drug czars just once to have to deal with a spider mite infestation and tell us how easy it is and simple to cultivate marijuana. Here's point number four, or let's see, five. Point number five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess I only had 5 points. Okay, point number four that they made. For every dollar society collects in alcohol and tobacco taxes, for example, we end up spending 8 more in social costs. He's saying that we only pull in $1 of taxes on alcohol, but it costs us $8 in, you know, DUIs and cirrhosis of the liver and healthcare and blah, 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 whatever. Okay, so you're arguing to repeal the 21st Amendment? Are you saying we should make alcohol criminal again? How come all of these arguments about the costs and the what society has to pay never caused them to want to prohibit alcohol again? Oh, maybe because we learned a lesson about that when you prohibit something, it gets more potent, more expensive, and you build a criminal underclass. Yeah, we learned that lesson, at least with alcohol. But you know what? Alcohol and tobacco are toxic and addictive. Marijuana is not. The Canadian study showed that alcohol costs 16 times more to society than a cannabis user, and tobacco costs 40 times more than a cannabis smoker. And finally, the last point that they tried to make to convince you that you should vote no on Prop 19. Law enforcement officers do not currently focus much effort on arresting adults whose only crime is possessing small amounts of marijuana. Oh, really? You don't put a whole lot of effort into it, huh? So just kind of, it's easy to arrest 850,000 adults every year, 89% of them for possession. You know, without even really thinking about it or putting much effort into it, we've managed to arrest 20 million people in the war on drugs simply for possessing marijuana. Not much effort put into it at all. All right, I encourage you to check out the whole post. It's at stash.normal.org. I follow it up with a look back at Gil Kerlikowske, John Walters, Barry McCaffrey, Lee Brown, Bob Martinez, and Bill Bennett, and some of the crazy things they've said about marijuana in the past. Check it out for yourself, plus a little bit of Harry J. Anslinger. We're right back with Danny Danko. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yar, the Army Pirates here. You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har, har. Because it's always smoking, matey. Har, 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 har,
har. This is Normal Show Live. To be the Pirate King. Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Just have freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
And I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol, and I quit drinking years ago. But until now, we all run the risk of arrest if we're caught with marijuana. Fortunately, that's about to change. The voters in California this November will have the opportunity to approve a proposal to legalize, regulate, and tax the responsible use of marijuana by adults. The nation's most populous state may soon be the first to reject prohibition, and other states are sure to follow. To learn how you can help, please contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome. Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
I don't care what you say. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say.
Quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivator's Corner.
I want to tell y'all a little bit about a plant I know that can save the world.
Hey guys, Ganja John. We're having some trouble getting Danny. We're going to go ahead and play some music here in a second, and we'll get back to you and get him in the second hour if we can.
Plant five and known to man, the best rope you'll ever hold.
Normal Show Live welcomes all of our lurking guests from Bong TV Live. But be careful, stick around here too long and you might learn something.
take another hit. That sticky icky is legit.
Josh Belville with Get Stoned Together. Check him out at myspace.com/Josh Belville. That's right. Josh Belville, JOSHBELVILLE. He will be providing the music for the Wednesday night welcoming party for the Normal National Conference. My apologies to all our listeners who are getting over here to listen to Danny Danko and to ask him some live questions in our chat and through our live call-in line. But we just can't get Danny on the line. We've tried all the numbers we have, and there's no answer. I'm not even getting an answer from the High Times office.
They close early on Fridays in August.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So we've missed them all, unfortunately. I'm so sorry. But we will get him on next week. He's a friend of the show. I'm sure he'll want to come on, and we'll have a good long talk.
Bad.
All right. So I'm going to go on with the radical rant, some more stuff on this drug czars opposing Prop 19, but not gambling in pot farms. And you might be wondering, well, what the hell does that mean, not gambling in pot farms? Well, it has to do with the drug czars themselves and their own personal history of opposing marijuana legalization. We'll go backwards from the current drug czar, and I'll just give you some ideas. First, we have Gil Kerlikowske. Now, Gil Kerlikowske was the police chief of Seattle, Washington, a city where his officers had been directed by a voter initiative to treat marijuana as the lowest enforcement priority, right? So they're, you know, basically told by voters, look the other way. Don't pay much attention to weed. This led to an 80% decrease in marijuana arrests, and yet no attendant increase in pot smoking. Right? Yeah, you know, we go back up here, you know, earlier where they I talked about, boy, if we legalize marijuana, there's gonna be so many more people that smoke pot. And yet in Seattle, where anybody who wants to get pot can get it pretty much, where they can go to Seattle Hemp Fest like we just went to last weekend and be amongst 200,000 people crowded into 1.6 miles of park on the waterfront, smoking pot openly. He was the police chief during all that and directed his officers at Seattle Hemp Fest to look the other way even before the initiative was passed for lowest law enforcement priority. And they never have any serious public safety incidents. In fact, the Seattle Times noted that Gerlachowski said in 2003 that the number of cases his department handled had declined from 600 cases in 1998 to 418 cases in 2001. So in the span of 3 years, you know, dropped by a third the number of cases that his Seattle department was handling. So my question to Gil Gerlachowski is, if it's so innocuous that you don't even bother to arrest people for doing it, and you yourself have seen that not arresting people for doing it didn't lead to any big problems, why do you think it should remain a crime? That's the thing I always get. I love it when the drug czars and the prohibitionists come back and say, well, we don't really lock anyone up for marijuana. Well, then, why bother making it criminal then? If it's so harmless to society that you don't feel the urge to have to lock up the people using small amounts of it, what's the big deal? Now, of course, that leads us backwards to John P. Walters, who is George W. Bush's drug czar. He's famous for saying, quote, "The fact is today people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. Finding somebody in jail or prison for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. It doesn't exist," end quote. Now, during Walters' tenure, 6.2 million marijuana users were arrested nationwide, most of whom at least saw a holding cell as they were booked, and some of whom spent some significant time in jail. In fact, when he made that quote here at Normal Show Live, back when it was just the Daily Audio Stash, we did a contest where I asked people to write in and tell me, what was the smallest amount you did jail time for? And not just in the holding cell, like you had to be in a jail cell. Who had the lowest amount that they had to do jail time for? I had people calling in, you know, writing in with, you know, I got busted with half a gram, got busted with a quarter of a gram, got busted with a roach in my ashtray, got busted with a seed, did time. Now, you know, they're not doing years and decades. No, a weekend in jail, you know, a couple weeks, whatever. But my winner was a young lady who wrote in from Idaho Falls, Idaho, my home state of Idaho, who did time for zero amount of marijuana. 0 grams. Literally 0 grams of marijuana. Like no marijuana. And she did time. How did this happen? She was caught in the dorm room. It was either a dorm or a house or a campus house or something like that. Apartment, whatever. Caught in this house with people who had been known to use marijuana, but they didn't have any marijuana on them either, right? In a home that didn't have any marijuana in it, but it had a bong. Yes, because this young woman was in the home and unknowingly, right? She herself doesn't smoke pot, right? And she wasn't particularly aware that her friends were pot smokers. But because there was an empty bong in the house, this made her guilty of frequenting a place where drugs are known to be consumed or some trumped up misdemeanor. And she had to be in jail from shortly before Christmas Day to shortly after New Year's Day. Right? So she's one of those unicorns we're talking about, right? That, you know, nobody goes to jail, according to John P. Walters. Then we get back to the Clinton administration. We get to Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, you know, because if you're going to go forth and try to solve some sort of problem with addiction and healthcare, the person you want is a military general, right? Because of all that great psychological and medical training they get at West Point. Mm-hmm. Anyway, McCaffrey is the former general who was famous, or I guess I should say infamous, for calling medical marijuana Cheech and Chong medicine, despite 14 states now that recognize it, and groups like the American Medical Association and the American College of Physicians, you know, doctors, not generals, Yeah, those people, they think it's medicine. Although, last year he did say he was 100% for medical marijuana. Kinda. He said he's 100% for Marinol, actually. He said if patients need that, it has some medical benefit, but if they need that benefit, they can get it from a pill. Okay. Oh, and he is cool with my outdoor grow. He is cool with my outdoor grow. He said last year, quote, if you're 40 years old and you're living in Oregon and you have 12 giant pot plants in the back of your log cabin, knock yourself out, end quote. So once again, drugs are, if it's so harmful, if it's so bad for society, so terrible, why do you not care about me growing 12 giant pot plants in my backyard? Oh, the drug czars. Required by law, required by their job description to lie about marijuana, to oppose and to take actions necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize the use of a substance in Schedule 1. Once it's declared to be Schedule 1, we can never again look at it to determine whether it should stay Schedule 1. Once you've made it into the Schedule 1, the government is required to oppose scientific research that would attempt to legalize it in any form. Once you made the Schedule 1 list, you're never off it. You're an evil drug. All right, stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. It's Happy Talk today. We're going to talk Happy Talk about marijuana. I'll tell you more about the drug czars. But again, just Happy Talk today. Happy, clean talk. We'll see you in just a bit.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.